Hello, and welcome to the Heaven Bound Podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Shouse, and we're opening the Bible in search of fuel for your spiritual journey. This is where we talk about life, the way it was meant to be, and what it means to be a disciple of Jesus in the 21st century. We appreciate you joining us on the journey. Roger, as hard as it is to believe, it is May 1st. If I had come into your office on January 1st and told you what the first 4 months of 2020 were actually going to be like, what would you have done?
You probably have been escorted out. This has been the most unusual thing, you know, and everybody's saying this, you know, it's not just this generation, but we've never been down these roads before. And we're seeing things that and experiencing things that we never had before. But May 1st has always been called May Day, and we believe that maybe the end is in sight. We're hopeful for that. And so we want to continue our Friday series that we've been doing here. This is going to kind of wrap it up today, and then we'll put our heads together and think of another series we would like to do with you. But we've been talking about it's great to be a Christian. And the backdrop of all this, you know, there was a time that we needed to talk about fear. And the coronavirus was causing a lot of panic in people. We needed to talk about worry, and we did. But it's also time to move on from those topics. We don't stay there. And so we switched to talk about the good news in Jesus Christ. The very word gospel means good news. And so in this little mini-series, we've talked about it's great to belong to God. We belong to God, and no one can take that away from us except ourselves. And what a wonderful, wonderful concept that is. From that, we talked about the great work God puts in our hands, the work of the kingdom. And that's just outstanding concept that God trusts us so much that he puts the kingdom into our hands. And then last time we were together, we talked about the great fellowship we have in Jesus, the idea of brothers and sisters, our church family, and the great bond we have in Jesus Christ. All those lessons are available on our website. You can go back and review them, and it might be good just to kind of put them all together and re-listen to them all, just to kind of lift you up and remind you, because by yourself, sometimes the world beats us up and we begin to wonder, but it is great to be a Christian. Well, there's one thought that remains, and that is it's the great hope we have in the Lord. And when we think about hope, hope looks forward. It looks future. And so when we think about this great hope we have in the Lord, we're going to be focusing upon eternity here. We're going to look at some things the Bible teaches us about heaven. And that motivates us. That propels us to keep going. When we're tired, we keep getting up and we keep going. When we're injured, when we just no longer have that heart in us, we do it because of that great hope we have in the Lord. When people lose hope, they give up. You can't find something, you give up hope, and I will never find this. And so you just quit. And when people have lost hope in the Lord, they quit and they lose everything. And so this is a great lesson for us to look at and consider. We begin, first of all, in the book of 1 Thessalonians, where Paul would even use this very word. In verse 13, he talks about the death of Christians. And there he says, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as the rest who have no hope." The sleep there he's talking about is death, the death of the Christians. There are those who had no hope because they weren't in Jesus. What is there after that? But there was a great hope, the great reunion, the great love that those Christians had even transcends death. Death would happen, but that doesn't touch this hope that they have. It just reassures and reemphasizes those things. And so that's where we're going to begin today. We want to talk about this great hope we have in the Lord and get you thinking about heaven. Won't it be wonderful there?
That passage, of course, in 1 Thessalonians 4 goes on to emphasize the basis of the Christian's hope.
It is the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus. You read 1 Thessalonians 4:13. In verse 14, he says, since we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And I just encourage you to pause there for a moment and ask yourself, do you believe that? If not, then we need to talk. Reach out to us. Let's talk about good reasons to believe that Jesus really lived, really died, really rose again. But for those who do believe that, Paul says, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord. And let's just pause there one more time and emphasize whatever it is that we have in our mind about heaven, what heaven is, what heaven's going to be like, who's going to be there. Let's make sure that we are basing it on a word from the Lord.
There's a lot, of ideas people have about heaven, and the flavor of the month in religious bookstores. There are so many copies, so many different versions of this. But someone supposedly died. They went to heaven, saw things, heard songs. They come back to life somehow. And then they write this book, and this book is made into a movie. And everyone puts more hope in that than what the scriptures say. Now, there's some problems with those books. There are layers of problems with that book, because first of all, when we think about going to heaven, seeing things, and coming back, that takes a miracle for that. That's called a resurrection. If a person dies, they don't come back. And resurrections happen because of a man of God bringing somebody back, and it brought them back for the reason of pointing people to Jesus. Well, that's happened. There are not resurrections today. The dead are not coming back to life, not today. And then when we think about the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he went up to the third heaven, he said. You know, the Jews believed in, and they used the word heaven to talk about three different things. Where the birds fly, that would be considered the first heavens. The second heaven is where the stars and the moon is, what we'd call the solar system. The third heaven, they believed, is where God was. So Paul said, I went up to heaven, not where the birds are, not where the moon's at, but I went up to the third heaven. He said, I heard things that is unlawful for me to repeat. So here's an inspired apostle of God, claims he went up there, but when he came back, he didn't write a book and say, here's what I heard, here's what songs we're singing, here's what we're doing. He was not allowed to say that. And then to this, again, to what Jason said, we need to build our concept of heaven based upon scripture, not imagination. People have the idea that when I get to heaven, I'm going to be just running through the meadows, picking flowers. I'm going to have my dog with me. There'll be chocolate fountains. There's going to be roller coasters. And what they have is a selfish extension of this life. That's never talked about in scriptures. We don't find Peter talking about going up to heaven and fishing. Fishing's done down here, not up there. And the idea of having food up in heaven. Oh, I just can't wait to go up to heaven and eat all that divine food. Food's down here, not up there. Heaven is God's house, not our house. And so heaven is extension of the Lord and how the Lord is. And it's holy and righteous and perfect as God is. So when we think about the concept of heaven, it's got to be built upon scriptures, not our imagination or not what somebody has written in the book. That's just his imagination as well.
Heaven will be about God. We've talked a whole lot in the first 50 episodes or so of this podcast about the journey, being heaven bound. So, Roger, when you think of, okay, having reached that destination, I hear you saying heaven is going to be first and foremost about God, being with God. What else comes to your mind? Why is this a great thing to think about at the conclusion of it's great to be a Christian?
Well, when we think about that, you know, again, as we, you know, talked about, heaven is not an extension of this life. As we read passages like Revelation 21, Revelation 22, where it talks about there is no pain, there is no crying, there is no death. The first things have been done away. And in many ways, those first things, I think, are all tied in with sin. Because sin causes all those things. Sin causes death. Sin causes mourning. Sin causes tears. And that will be separation. That we will not have that concept. So when we think about heaven, it's hard for us to put a mind around the idea of eternity, going on and on forever, and never having to go anywhere else. You and I always have to go somewhere else. When Jason and I are done recording this, we have somewhere else we have to go. Even on Sunday, when we assemble for worship, when worship ends, we have somewhere else to go. You go to the doctor's office, you have somewhere else to go. You go to work, you have somewhere else to go. You always have to go somewhere else. Not heaven. Heaven's the end of the journey. There's no other place to go to. Heaven is a reflection of God. It's perfect. There's not going to be any sin in heaven. There's not going to be any devil in heaven. There's not going to be any mistakes in heaven. Where do you get those? We get that as we pull this out of Revelation and we see that wonderful concept. It's going to be a fellowship with the righteous of God. Revelation chapter 7 talks about this great, innumerable crowd. He said that the crowd was so large you couldn't count them. And what's fascinating about that is there are all kinds of numbers in Revelation. There are seven churches and there are seven seals. There's that 144,000. There's a 1,000-year reign. There's all kinds of big numbers in Revelation. But when he talked about that crowd around the throne, it was so large, he couldn't count it. Every tribe, every nation, all kinds of tongues. And there they are. They're not playing hopscotch. They're not sitting around watching TV. They're around the throne praising God. These are the people who praise God on earth, and now they're praising him in heaven.
I love in Revelation 22, we've talked about it in other contexts, but this beautiful statement, Revelation 22, verse 4, they will see his face. Right now, there is plenty that obscures us from seeing fully the face, the full-on majesty of God. In fact, the Bible is plain in telling us that in our physical bodies, in our present limitations, we can't even stand that. But in heaven, face to face with God, his name will be on the foreheads of those there. I take that as a statement just emphasizing front and center, this is what life forevermore is going to be all about. Night will be no more. They will need no light or lamp of sun, but the Lord God will be their light and they will reign forever and ever. We heard earlier about the importance of a word from the Lord. John emphasizes, having told us all of these incredible things in Revelation 21 and 22, in Revelation 22, verse 6, that angel says to John, these words are trustworthy and true. This isn't speculation. This isn't the fruit of a New York Times bestseller that has to be pulled off the shelves because of scandal 12 months after publication. These words are trustworthy and they're true.
So what is the foundation of our hope? This great hope we have in the Lord, this hope of going to heaven. Well, let's go to the scriptures and let's look at a few verses here. In the book of Ephesians in chapter 2 and verse 8, for by grace you've been saved through faith, not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. There's God's part and there's our part. God's part is grace. We're not going to be good enough. We're not going to be perfect enough. When someone says, you know, I really don't deserve heaven, and the answer is you're right, you don't. None of us do. But by God's grace, God's gift, and our faith, and faith is action. Amazing lesson in Mark chapter 2 when Jesus was in a crowded house and teaching. Four men brought a crippled guy on a cot. They couldn't get in the house because of the crowd, so they go up to the rooftop. They open up the roof and lower this man down before Jesus. No words are said, but the first thing Jesus, the text tells us, is that Jesus saw their faith. Now, he saw their faith even though no words were said. What did he see? He saw persistence. He saw determination. He saw four guys who wanted to put their friend before Jesus. He saw four men who really believed that Jesus could heal their crippled friend, seeing their faith. So Ephesians 2 verse 8, we're saved by grace through faith. My faith is not going to be dormant. It's going to move me. It's going to change me. Based on the gospel, it's going to lead me to worshiping God the way he wants to be worshiped, not the way I want to worship him. And it's going to lead me to live a righteous life. It's going to lead me to leave the way of the world and sin and to walk with God. 1 John 1 verse 7 says, as he is in the light, we walk in the light as he is in the light. There's that path we follow. We follow Jesus Christ. So the foundation of my hope is Jesus Christ. Now, let me say this, and let me say this kindly, the best I can. Again, the world, when we come to this topic about heaven, misses this. A person doesn't go to heaven just because they die. How many funerals? Nearly every funeral you attend, the person who died goes to heaven. They may never go to church in their life. They may have never even opened the Bible in their life, but somehow they're going to heaven. Well, that's not walking in the light, is it? That's not salvation by faith. So we don't go to heaven just because we die. We don't go to heaven because we died a heroic death. Think about some of these people who are helping out on the front lines of the coronavirus and how some of them catch this. Some of them die. Well, you don't go to heaven because of that. You don't go to heaven because you're a soldier and you're shot overseas or a police officer and you die in a line of duty. That's not the basis of going to heaven. The basis of going to heaven is a life lived in Jesus. And so again, when we think about this hope, this hope is wrapped around Jesus and based upon Jesus. And from that, I have lived a life here of Jesus.
I love an obscure question in 2 Kings 18, of all places. It came from a trash-talking spokesman of a pagan king, but it was a good question asked to Hezekiah. In 2 Kings 18, verse 19, the king of Assyria, through this trash-talking spokesman, asks Hezekiah, on what do you rest this hope of yours? And I think that's a powerful question. You've shown us where, for the Christian, that ought to be. That's in Jesus, right? But here on Friday, 4 months of this year are already gone. Trust, hope, rests on someone or something. And Scripture does a great job of showing us where it ought not to be, right? Money was never intended to bear the weight of my hope. The love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, Paul tells us in 1 Timothy 6, and some wander away from that solid foundation of faith in Christ, and they pierce themselves. You rest your hope on money, and Paul is telling you it's going to pierce you. Work was never intended to bear the weight of your hope. We don't rest our hope on our careers. Marriage was never intended to bear the weight of our hope. If I rest my greatest needs and aspirations on my spouse or my children, that's a recipe for disaster. I was never intended to put the weight of hope on the things of this world. If I put it on myself, it's going to crush me. If I put it on other people, then it's going to crush them. But Jesus can bear that weight. Paul describes this weight of glory that the Christian can anticipate because it is built on the solid rock of Jesus Christ.
Let's look at three different verses in the book of Revelation, chapter 20, chapter 21, and chapter 22. The end of chapter 20, verse 15, if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. And so to get your name in the book of life, you have to be obedient and faithful to God. In chapter 21 of Revelation and verse 27, nothing unclean and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. There again is that concept. And then in chapter 22 and verse 14, blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have a right to the tree of life and may enter into the gates of the city. So what's the foundation of our hope? It's our belief and obedience and following Jesus Christ. That's what it is. And what a great hope this is. You see, the coronavirus will never touch heaven. It will never get there. It will be unchanged in heaven. No one can take that away from you. You're not going to be there for a weekend, and then God says, that's it, your tour is over, time to go back. Once you're there, you're there. And Satan will not be there. So there'll be no temptation in heaven. There'll be no messing up. You won't have a bad day, and God said, guess what, you got to go to the other place. That's not going to happen. And so what a wonderful, wonderful hope that we have. It doesn't matter how dark it could be down here. We know that we're a heaven-bound people. We know that things are only going to get better. We know that through Jesus Christ, the best is yet to come.
When I think about this series, it's great to be a Christian. And the great hope that we have, the great fellowship, the great work, the great truth that we belong to Jesus. I think of words that we sometimes sing in our assemblies. I cannot wait for all of us eventually to be gathered back together and sing songs like, what have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Or the other hymn, my hope is built on nothing else. Yeah. That's where our hope is built on. And so we hope the series has been helpful for you. We hope as you put it together, it gives you some things really to think about. You know, you might have lost your job because of this coronavirus. You may be facing some real challenges right now in your life. You may have become a homeschool teacher when that wasn't your plans in life. But you know what? If you're a New Testament Christian, you belong to God. You got a great work before you, and that work is the work of the kingdom. You are among the greatest people on the face of the earth, and there's a great hope that's awaiting each of us. That gets us through these dark days, and that gets us back to where we need to be and to remind ourselves, boy, God is good to me. And to remind ourselves that we want to walk with God every day.
Roger, I appreciate this series. I appreciate the obstacles that you've overcome with me in making sure that this podcast hasn't been interrupted. More than anything, we appreciate you all listening. We hope that this series has been a source of light for you during this difficult season. We hope even this episode has given you a little more fuel for the journey. If you found it helpful, let's share hope that is found in the scriptures. And maybe just by sharing this episode on social media, someone will find the hope that they so desperately need. As Roger brought up earlier, we encourage you to always remember, when you're walking with Jesus, you're heaven bound, and the best is yet to come.